I'm going to turn over with me to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to go 1 through 7 this morning. And we're going to read back a couple of passages, a couple of verses in Galatians chapter 3 just to get the context, because we always want to know what's going on in and around it. So let's start with Galatians 3. Verse 22, but the scripture saith, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. 4 verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we're going to look through verse 1 through 7. And verse 1 and 2 is the picture of it. It talks about, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. They were no different than slaves. They were still children. Regarding that inheritance, masters were still under guardians and stewards. Verse 2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So they were under guard, they were under the tutors, they were under the governors. These children were no different than the slaves. You can go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Again, we're comparing children that don't have an inheritance yet to the law. We just have a comparison here. Before Jesus Christ came, before this dispensation, we're under that law. We're still that child. We have no inheritance. We have no hope, really. The law had been their tutor. The law had been their schoolmaster. That word inherits or the heir is inherits a possession. A child is one underage, not matured yet. You know, I'm not exactly sure during this biblical time how it all worked, but there were certain things they had to meet. There were certain criteria they had to meet. And if that child never matured to that age or matured to that level, they never had an inheritance. They were no different than the slaves. They were no different than the masters. They were no, even though it was the child of the king, they had nothing. In verse 3, even so when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. Once we become a son of Jesus Christ, once we become a part of his, we are no longer under a tutor. The law had served its purpose. It was that schoolmaster. It was that thing here to follow. When they become sons of God, which is by justification by faith. You can see that in verse 24 and 25 of the last chapter. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So again, once we mature enough, once we become sons of God, we receive that inheritance. We become an heir of Jesus Christ. And towards the end of our lesson, verse 6 and 7, that's what we'll be talking about, is being joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You can see in verse 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time was come, when the right time was come. There's throughout Scripture, we now have the entire complete Word of God, so we can see a lot of things. We can see a lot of things going on. But if you think about the 12, the only thing they knew is what Jesus Christ was teaching him through his earthly ministry. They heard about the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus told them about it, but they never believed it. They had no clue who Paul was until later on in Scripture. You know, so you got to think of it, of what's happening through the timeline. But as we watch The Chosen on Wednesday night, as the 12 are following Jesus Christ, they have no idea who Paul is. They only know what Jesus Christ teaches them through the earthly ministry. And that's why it's so crucial to see we were under the law. That was our schoolmaster. But now that we're under Christ, verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So, there's so much in these first seven verses here. In verse 6 and 7, it says, because ye are sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. But through 1 through 7, there's just so much here. Let's look up that portion of to redeem them that were under the law. I love that portion of redeem, redemption. You know, Jesus Christ redeemed us. You know, and a lot of people redeem us is gain or even regain possession. You know, an illustration that I saw is Tom carried his new boat to the edge of the river. He carefully placed it in the water and slowly let out the string. How smoothly the boat sailed. Tom sat in the warm sunshine, admiring the little boat that he had built. Suddenly, a strong current caught the boat. Tom tried to pull it back to shore, but the string broke. The little boat raced downstream. Tom ran along the sandy shore as fast as he could. But his little boat soon slipped out of sight. All afternoon, he searched for the boat. Finally, when it was too dark to look any longer, Tom sadly went home. A few days later, on the way home from school, Tom spotted a boat just like his in a store window. When he got closer, he could sure enough see it was his. Tom hurried to the store manager. Sir, that's my boat in your window. I made it. Sorry, son. Someone else brought it in this morning. If you want it, you'll have to buy it for $1. When he reached the store, Tom ran home and counted all his money. He had exactly $1. When he reached the store, he rushed to the counter. Here's the money for my boat. As he left the store, Tom hugged his boat and said, now you're twice mine. First I made you, and now I bought you. Jesus Christ created us. Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen. God the Father is the one that, like I said, created us. And then he bought us back. Redemption is to regain possession. It's to regain us, to get us, to buy us back. And what an amazing analogy. Twice mine. First I made you, and now I bought you. You can see in Galatians 2, verse 19 and 20, a few weeks ago we talked about it, but it says, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are dead to the law. And this is the analogy using in Galatians chapter 4. Again, as a child, we're under that law until we become sons of Jesus Christ. It was there for tutors. It was there for a schoolmaster. It was there to teach us. It was there to show us that we are sinners. The law was never there for a righteous person. And when we're in Jesus Christ, we are righteous. We are pure. We are perfect. There's nothing there for us. So Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Which at that time, that was everybody. They were all under the law until the Apostle Paul came and said, hey, because of the death, burial, and resurrection, that law is dead. That law is not needed any longer. We are justified by faith. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I love that word adoption. You know, again, a lot of people, my family has adopted. I have three siblings that are adopted. So again, we are big into adoption. But as we study this word adoption, it's not taking a child from outside the family, bringing him into your family, which is a form of adoption. Like I said, with redemption, it's bringing you back to him. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. We can see a couple verses with the word adoption. With that word adoption, the best analogy is with the prodigal son, you know, where his son leaves him. He was part of the family. And typically in that day and age, when he came home, he should have never been accepted back into the family. But his father ran out there to greet him because he adopted him back into the family as well. But Ephesians 2, you can see 3 through 5. Ephesians 1. Let's jump over to Ephesians 1. I was one chapter off. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Again, we are adopted to be children of Jesus Christ. We are created by Jesus Christ. We are redeemed by Jesus Christ. We are adopted by Jesus Christ. And it's coming back to the family of God. And a lot of people don't love that word predestinated, or even it says that according as he hath chosen us. A lot of people want to say, well, God chooses who he chooses. And that's not true. If you continue in that verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him. He has chosen the body of Christ. He has chosen Jesus Christ. And the only way to be predestined for heaven, the only way to be chosen by him, is to be in him. Is to be a part of the body of Christ. To be a part of the... My favorite analogy for predestination is that there's a plane leaving from here to go to Cleveland, Ohio. That plane is going to land in Cleveland, Ohio. He doesn't choose who gets on that plane. That plane is the body of Christ, and you're either in him or you're not. We are not predestinated. We are not chosen. We are not picked. Yes, before the foundation of the world, he knew who was going to choose him. Jesus Christ knows all. He knows all our mistakes. He knows all our past, presents, futures. He knows it all, but he does not choose us. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose the body of Christ, not the individual person. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, but Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We were predestined unto adoption. Look at Romans 8:29 is another one. :29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Predestined to the image of his son, to be conformed to the image of his son. Once we put our trust in him, we are conformed into the image of his son. We are to be like him. We are to be following him. 8:23 also, and not only they, but also ourselves, which have the first fruits of the spirits, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So there's a few different types of adoption here. Again, we've already been adopted. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have been adopted. You're in Him. You're in the body of Christ. And secondly, as a present, we want to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is the adoption. And then lastly, a future adoption, which I cannot wait for. Each and every day I get a little bit older, I get a little sorer, I get a little bit weaker. waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That is a future adoption. We are going to all have new bodies. We're going to all be perfect. We're all going to be sinless. I won't be as ugly as I am now. But again, we will all have new bodies. What an amazing, amazing thing. Jump back to Galatians 4. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." So because he's Lord of all, he's no different than the servant as he's a child. If he's still under the law, he's still under the schoolmaster, he is no different than the servant, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And I'm just so thankful that Jesus Christ made it so easy for us to be a part of that body of Christ. There's nothing we have to do. We don't have to give to the church. We don't have to do anything for the church. We don't have to do things for our... Again, it's good to do those things. It's good to spread the word of God. But we can be children of God. Verse 3, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." So again, they were under bondage. They were under that legalism. They were under that law. "But when the fullness of time was come," when it was time to come, when it was time for Jesus Christ to come, "God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ." We all know what an heir is, or we all know what an inheritance is. It's receiving something, you know, and I've heard it time and time again. Hey, when my grandparents pass away, or when my parents pass away, or, you know, somebody gets $30,000 and they think, oh, they're set for life. But we are heirs of Jesus Christ. If we are God's children, then we are also God's heirs. If we are God's heirs, then we are also joint heirs with Christ. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have been made children of God. When we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are no longer under the law. We are now a son, a daughter, a child of the Almighty God. What does it mean to be an heir to the throne of God? And I don't even think we can put this into, you know, our minds can't fathom it. Our minds can't understand it. Our minds can't say, oh, that's going to be really cool. But like I said, an heir is a person who inherits or has a right of inheritance to the property of another person following their death. Children are typically always heirs to their parents. You could be given the right to live in their house, eat their food, drive their car, even spend their money. That's what an heir is. But when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, or God Almighty, everything in the entire universe belongs to God. Everything seen in the world that we live in the kingdom of God that we cannot see, belongs to God. It's all God's property, all of it. We are joint heirs with Christ. If we are God's children, we also become joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We talked a little bit about John 3:16 this morning, but it talks about the only begotten Son. And that word begotten means the archaic term referring to when a child is the only offspring of his or her father. Jesus is the only offspring to God the Father. It's the only natural heir to God's throne. We are not God's original children, nor the original heirs to God's throne. The firstborn son and true heir to God's throne is Jesus. So as God's only begotten Son, Jesus is God's only true heir, and Jesus' inheritance is everything that is God's, which is everything that is in existence. But it talks about in Romans, it talks about us having joint heirs with Christ. Look at Romans 8:17. To me, it's mind-blowing. It's just mind-boggling. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. Verse 17, Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Richard I thought he did a pretty good analogy this morning of, you know, if you can hate so far one way, you can love so much more the other. But even the suffering, I love to take it with the suffering. You know, if you suffer in this life, the glory that we're going to receive when we get to heaven is 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times better than the suffering that we ever go through on this earth. You know, that hate and that love, the suffering and the glory. But we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He adopted us into his own family. He brought us together. He brought us back to him. He redeemed us back to Jesus Christ. You know, to me, that's just mind-boggling. Very hard for me to understand and fathom and just so much there. But verse 1 and 2 to me is the illustration in Galatians chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So again, it's just an illustration showing that as a child, he can't have anything of his father's. He could be born into the most glorious family. He could be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the tutors of tutors, the governors of governors. But he's no different than the servant until that day he is appointed to be, until he matures enough. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Again, we're stuck in the rudiments of the world. We're stuck in the tradition of the world. We're stuck in the law of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman, made under the law. We talked about it time and time again, but when Jesus Christ was born, he was born under the law. He had to follow the law, otherwise he would have committed a sin. He had to follow whatever the law was. We saw on the Chosen Wednesday night, it was all about the law. And thank goodness that we were not born in that dispensation, that we're born under the age of grace. But Jesus Christ had to fulfill the law. He had to be water baptized because that was part of the law. It was not for his forgiveness of sins. It was not for him to be right with Jesus. It was not for any other reason besides to fulfill the law. Verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus Christ was born of a woman, born to Mary, to redeem them that were under the law, to buy us back. He created us 4,000 years, 6,000 years ago, and he wanted to buy us back. He wanted us to bring us back to a good standing with him. And through faith, through justification by faith, we can have that. In verse 6, and because ye are sons, because we were adopted, because we're not under the law, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son unto your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, So now the child is no longer a servant. He's no longer a child, but a son. That child finally grows up to full maturity. The father says, now you can have my inheritance. You're smart enough. You're wise enough. You've done everything I've called you to do. You've received everything. You are now, you receive all the inheritance. You are now different than that servant. You are now different than that master. You are now a son. And the analogy is comparing us as a child in the law to Jesus Christ dying on the cross and giving us eternal life. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Again, I can't even fathom what the inheritance is. There's so many things that we've been blessed with already here on this earth. And just so many things that he's given to us already. I just can't believe or even imagine what heaven is going to be like. But if we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. Let us close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Galatians chapter 4 and the Apostle Paul giving this analogy of a child that's born into a wealthy, wealthy family. And God created us. We were gods at one point, but because of our sin, because of our mess ups, because of our failures, we were separated from God. We were separated from the one that created us. But he redeemed us by going to the cross of Calvary. He bought us back. He created us and then bought us back. He adopted us into the family of God, just like this analogy with the child that was born into a family of kings and princes and everything. And that we can have eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We just thank you for the many things that you give to us. We just pray that we have a wonderful and blessed week. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.